Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com. That's PolicyGenius.com.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, into the Adam Carriker Show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's an exciting day, the loaded hour. The Adam Carriker Show, the show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty. And when Jake is away, Kim and I, producer Jake and I, have a whole lot of fun in the process. Today, we're going to talk about the elephant in the room. And I'm going to give my officially final prediction, because I have been known to change them throughout the week in the past. I tried to do it once the game started in the past, but I was told that that wasn't allowed. So up until game time, I'm allowed to change my prediction. All right, the opening kickoff. I'm going to give my final, officially final, official, final, official prediction for Nebraska versus Indiana. Here's the elephant in the room. There's a world where Nebraska is 6-1 after this weekend. Like, to me, this is a momentum game. This is like Colorado. Colorado was such a momentum game. It wasn't a ranked opponent. It wasn't a Big Ten conference game. Matt Rhule called those first three games like preseason game. No. That was a momentum game. That's what Indiana is. We win this game on the road, number 16 in the country, 6-1, going into Ohio State. It's a big-time momentum game. There's a world where this time next week, Nebraska's sitting here 6-1, ranked, getting ready to play Ohio State. I know it's the big noon kickoff. Do you think there's a world where game day would go to that Nebraska-Ohio State game, Jake? If we're 6-1?
Yeah, I'd have to double check the schedule, but they usually go with what's on their network. But I could see it. I could see a possibility.
That's right. The whole Fox ESPN thing. Oh, okay. Can't work together, I guess. That's how business is. All right. I digress. But there's also a world where Nebraska's 5-3 in 2 weeks. And I know nobody wants to talk about that. If we lose to Indiana and we're big time dogs to Ohio State, can't pull off the upset, we're 5-3. That world exists too. So I'm going to give my preview prediction analysis of Nebraska, Indiana. And there's some things that Nebraska needs to do a little bit differently on offense. They've got talented skill guys. They've got big linemen. They've got experienced linemen. They've got a talented quarterback who is the biggest question mark coming into the season. But guess what? He's been the most consistent thing we have on offense. You look at the Rutgers game. That's the only game where he hasn't played really, really well. Like, we have 4 talented running backs, okay? I'm still going to say that I think Emmett Johnson needs to start, and I found out something interesting yesterday when I interviewed him. He only had 1 Power 5 scholarship offer coming out of high school. And I'm like, that's why that guy gets overlooked. Coaches want to play the best players, and Matt Rhule is anybody, as much as anybody or more, is going to play the best player. But it's easy to get caught up in, this is what this guy did in high school. This is what this guy was, how highly he was rated. 4, 5 stars, 92 stars. That guy had 1 Power 5 offer.
if it's ever close, I'm willing to bet a coach is going to go with the best player. But if it's ever close, they might err towards somebody else. I think Emmett Johnson, and I'm not saying it's some gargantuan difference between him and our next best back. I think he's our best back, yet he tends to get overlooked. That's the only thing that I can think of. That's not the topic of today. Just learned that yesterday. Had a chat with Emmett. It was a great chat, great interview. All right. But the topic of today is a couple of things. Number one, my official final prediction for Nebraska-Indiana, the breakdown, the analysis, learning a whole lot more about the Hoosiers. Nebraska's offense is, they're not living up to the talent that they have on offense. I've talked about a bit of an identity crisis. Are we a run first team? Are we a pass first team? Are we just a balanced team? I think there's an identity crisis, but I think there's some things within the play calling that need to be different. All these lateral passes, all these things behind the line of scrimmage, those things tend to either get you 10 to 15 yards or negative 2 or 3 yards. Okay. But also there's a world where Nebraska's 6-1 and there's a world where Nebraska's 5-3. This is such a momentum game. I want to talk about the 6-1, 5-3 thing first, because if Nebraska beats Indiana, pretty simple, pretty easy. All right, we're 6-1. We beat a ranked team. Now we're going to be ranked top 25. Who knows? Maybe top 20. I don't know. A lot of things to be excited about. A lot of the people nationally are all of a sudden going to want to jump back on board the Nebraska football click train. With all due respect, they do a phenomenal job, but they kind of disappeared after Illinois. So for me, that's an easy thing to talk about. That's an exciting thing to talk about. I'd love to do the whole show on that. Just Nebraska being 6-1, getting ready to play Ohio State. That'd be great. But let's talk about what nobody wants to talk about, the potential of Nebraska being 5-3. Not to be a downer, not to be negative, to actually be the opposite. Let's say Nebraska plays a great game in Indiana, goes to overtime, 3 overtimes, you know, great game, lose by a point. Okay, both teams play well, they just happen to outscore us. Let's say we play Ohio State, play them within a touchdown, great game. Everything, you know, went well. They just happened to be better on that day. Nebraska's sitting here 5-3. Well, here's why I want to bring that up. Because they're both very real-world potential scenarios. Don't overreact to either one. Look at the rest of our schedule. Look at USC. I could see us winning that game after a bye week. By the way, after a second bye week for Nebraska, they should be uber healthy and fresh. I could see us winning that game. I could see us losing that game. I could see us beating Iowa. I could see us losing to Iowa. I could see us beating Wisconsin. I could see us losing to Wisconsin. A lot of people are going to say, we're going to lose to Ohio State. We're going to beat UCLA. Like they're givens in the bag. Let me remind you, Alabama, Vandy, you never know what's going to happen. But my point is simply this. There's 4 games left on our schedule that could legit go either frickin' way, starting with Indiana. If we're 5-3 in a couple weeks, let's say we beat UCLA, we're 6-4, you get bowl eligible. There's still a world where we end up with 7-5, 8-4 wins. You look at Wisconsin, you look at Iowa, you see strengths, you see weaknesses, much like when you look at Nebraska. All I'm simply saying is if we're 6-1, the hype train is going to come. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Big time momentum. Don't overreact to that. As exciting as I will be on this show, I will be so loud, talking so fast, there's no way producer Jay can take a nap that day. Because I'll be that excited. But if we end up 5-3 in 2 weeks from now, don't panic. There's still a world where we easily make a bowl game. Can't believe I said that word easily. But there is. There's a world where we still end up with 7 wins, 8 wins. There's nobody left on our schedule except for Ohio State that we're going to be a big dog to. And with the exception of UCLA, there's nobody that we're going to be a gigantic favorite over. This season, there's 4 games. That could completely go one way or the other. There's 6 because this is college football. Let me remind you, Alabama, Vandy. My point is simply, no matter what happens, there's still a chance for Nebraska to win anywhere from 7 to 8 games. As exciting and as big as this weekend is, don't overreact one way or the other. That's all I'm saying. And if we come in to do the Adam Carriker show on Monday in Indiana, and we beat Indiana, and we're 6-1, and we're ranked top 25, top 20. Jake's going to have to pour some ice water on my head to calm me down because I'm going to be so excited. Maybe he could replay this segment for me. Adam, don't overreact one way or the other. If we're 5-3 in 2 weeks, same thing. That's all I'm saying. With Nebraska's offense, here's what I've noticed. The sweeps have worked with Ja'Cory Barney and a lot of these lateral plays, sideways plays, which I've never been a fan of in my life. Nebraska's offense growing up was the exact opposite of the lateral sideways offense. It was downhill, blue collar, in your face, smash mouth, knock them back, football. I know that's not exactly who we are today. The offense is different. I get it. Personnel is different. I understand. College football isn't the same. I comprende. What I'm saying is if you look at our last few games and the inconsistencies, we have a lot of lateral passes, swing passes, and sweeps to the side. And I've noticed they work close to the end zone because defenses tend to bunch in to stop the inside run. But away from the opponent's red zone, they don't work so much. Go look at the stats. Go look at the facts. When we have success, it's when we're running the ball downhill. It's when we're throwing the ball downhill. The moment we try to go lateral, unless we're within the 20, because defenses aren't bunching in at that point, until we get to the 20 or inside their red zone, all of a sudden, we either get 12 yards or we get minus two. We're not the type of offense that can come back from second and 12 very often. If you run the ball and get 3 yards on first down, and you run the ball, get 3 yards on second down, all of a sudden it's third and four. You throw the ball laterally, hoping to get a big play outside. And I'm not saying you can't ever do this. I'm saying we do it too much.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
But you get tackled for a two-yard loss. Now it's second and 12. Now you've got to throw the ball in a predictable situation. Incomplete pass. Now it's third and 12. Nebraska's success rate, look at the past couple of games. Purdue and Rutgers. Second half Purdue, first half of Rutgers. We converted 50% of our third downs. Look at the first half of Purdue, we were 0-6 on third down. Look at the second half of Rutgers, what were we, 2-9? 2-15. Look at the play calls in those halves. It's a lot of lateral, hocus-pocus, trick-em-dick-em type stuff. I'm not opposed to never doing it. We just do it too much. What is our identity? We've got to be blue-collar, in-your-face, smash-mouth, play-action pass, protect the young quarterback. Here's the other thing. There's not a whole lot of intermediate passes. It's either right around the line of scrimmage or deep over the top. And look at Pro Football Focus rankings of Dylan Raiola. Pretty good all over the board, except the intermediate passes. Anywhere from 10 to 20 yards. Not great, because we don't do it. You look at Indiana, they get the ball to their playmakers. And I'm going to go through a lot of their stats here in a second. In space, in the intermediate routes, and then they've got room to move. And they got some athletes, and they make big plays. Yards after catch, yak. Nebraska hasn't had a lot of yak this year. It's either right around the line of scrimmage, which doesn't always go great, as I just alluded to, or big over the top plays, and we've had a little bit of success with that. How many plays have gone over the intermediate pass routes? Not many. I think it's contributed to our lack of consistent success on offense. And when your most consistent player is your freshman, then you're telling me that the other players, the experienced guys, are the ones not being consistent. And to me, that comes more back to the play calls. Does that make sense, Jake?
Yeah, it is. And it is interesting. I think that's going to be a big factor this weekend is that is, and I wonder, to get your thoughts, not to flip it on the other side, is that the 3-3-5 defense going into this, because Indiana does do a really good job of yards after catch. And I was just looking it over in the first, with the captain too, is that Nebraska does only have one 100-yard receiving performance this year. That was against UTEP. So some of that yak yardage could certainly help. We're talking about this too with Matt Rhule the other day. He's talking about needing explosive games or explosive runs would really help out that run game. Nebraska just hasn't had a whole lot of that this year, and I'm glad you kind of pointed that out.
You're either going big over the top, which is high risk, high reward, kind of like going off the top of a 20-foot hell in the cell. Shout out to Mankind.
Yes.
Notice he never did it again, though. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look up Hell in a Cell, Mankind, Undertaker, 1997. And if you just hate wrestling, I've gotten 3 wedding invitations since last week, by the way.
Have you really?
Just randomly out of nowhere. I'm just going to shout that out.
Fall?
First of all.
Fall?
Yes.
Yeah.
First of all, wow. Second of all, selfish. It's football season. How dare you? I digress. Way to get way off topic. But it's either over the top or lateral stuff. It's very rarely in the middle. Intermediate passes, which is where you're going to get a lot of the yak. And I know a lot of the screens and the swings, and you're going to get that too. But again, for me, if I'm Marcus Satterfield, I'm looking for 3-4 yards of play, and I'm looking for third down to be 3 yards or less. I'm not looking to risk a 2-yard loss and then a predictable pass situation on second down. Now we're 3rd and 12, and good luck with that to just about anybody. I don't care if you're Nebraska or you got freaking Aaron Rodgers. Maybe that's a bad example because he's got a coach fired, but I digress. Topic for another day. Let's look at Indiana just a smidge. All right. Well, we're going to start with special teams because that's the first note I have here. They haven't kicked a lot of field goals this year. They're 4-4 on the season. They definitely have the advantage in special teams coming into this game anyways. I hope the game unfolds in a different manner. They're averaging 44 yards per punt. All right, Maryland was the best offense they played this year, and they gave up over 400 yards of offense to Maryland. They are the number 6 defense in the country. The issue was Maryland couldn't stop Indiana's offense. All right. But here's the thing with Indiana's defense. They rank top 10 nationally, number 6, but they have faced 4 offenses. They're ranking the bottom 30. That means they're 103rd or worse in the country because there's 133 teams. There are not many teams who've had success getting pressure on Indiana's quarterback. Okay, the strength of our defense, I would argue, is our front 7. We've got Ty Robinson. We got James Williams, 4 sacks apiece, tied for 2nd in the Big Ten Conference. We got to get pressure on them. Something Mo Berry talked about earlier this week when he joined me on Tuesday. Curtis Rourke, Ohio's quarterback. He's 6'5", has 14 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. He's been sitting back there all day, but he's on pace for a career season so far. Okay. And I mentioned, unlike Nebraska's receivers, Indiana's receivers have had a lot of yak, yards after catch. All right. You look at, they have 5 different receivers that have double-digit amount of catches this year. Their top 2 receivers are averaging 18 and 21 yards per catch, respectively, and have combined for about 900 yards receiving so far this year. Curtis Rourke, before he ever stepped foot in Indiana, had a lot of experience. 33 starts, threw for 7,000 yards before he ever got to Indiana. Now he's completing 74% of his passes and has thrown for 1,700 yards so far, which is on pace for a career high for him. There was another stat. I'm trying to find it here. I can't find it. That's okay, though, because I want to talk about their running backs. They got 4 really good running backs, and I got the chance to meet Justice Ellison, the Wake Forest transfer, a guy who got an offer out of Wake Forest from Arlington, Virginia, out of high school. Took it right away. Kind of shut down the recruiting early. You think, oh, Wake Forest, you know, okay. Shut it down right away. Could have got way more offers to even bigger name schools. Same thing. Enters the transfer portal, boom, Indiana hits him right away. He says yes right away. I talked with him at Big Ten Media Days. He was uber impressive. He's their lead back, right? They have 2 backs who carry the load, and then they have 4 backs who are really good. Their 3rd and 4th string running backs are averaging almost 7.5 yards per carry. Their top 2 running backs who share the load, okay, are averaging almost 6 yards per carry. This is an offense that's used to being explosive. I watch Indiana's O-line on film, and I'm curious because they've only given up 6 sacks this year, and they rank top 10 in pressure rate allowed. In other words, they're one of the 10 best teams in the country and not allowing their quarterback to get pressure on him, which is where Ty and James and the front 7 and the black shirts got to get pressure on him. But when you watch him on film, I personally see an average offensive line. I just have seen subpar competition so far. But it doesn't matter what I see. It matters what happens Saturday. That's why I'm curious to see what happens Saturday. This is our defensive line's opportunity to really show out. And honestly, it's Indiana's offensive line's opportunity to show out and show what they can do. Indiana's 6-0 for the first time in 50 years. Now, they got a lot of transfers. 11 of their starters aren't just transfers, but they're from Ohio. All right, talking about Curtis Rourke and Miles Cross, who are at Ohio the past 2 years, where Ohio won 10 games apiece the last 2 seasons. Continuously coming into this year, and 9 of Indiana's other starters are from James Madison, a team that won 11 games a year ago. That means 11 of their starters started not only elsewhere a season ago, but for non-Power 5 teams, but they're used to winning. They came in expecting to win because that's what they're used to winning, and it was up to them to prove whether they could do it at a power four level. They've shown they can do it at a power four level. Now the question is, can you do it against good power four competition? When you talk about most impressive turnarounds, you look at from a season ago to this year, then I'll give my prediction. We'll hit the break. You got Navy. Went from 5-7 to 5-0. They've already matched their win total from a year ago. Army was 6-6. They're 6-0. Matched their win total from a year ago. Nebraska, 5-7. We're 5-1. BYU, 5-7 a year ago. Already surpassed their win total from last season. They're 6-0. Miami, 7-6. They're already 6-0. And Indiana, probably the most impressive one. 3-9 to 6-0 already. Here's my prediction. And I'm not confident in it at all. I just have a hard time fathoming. They're not more athletic than we are. We are bigger than they are. It comes down to coaching. I have a hard time fathoming, as good as Indiana is, and I could be completely wrong on this, there's a little bit of my heart in this prediction because this is such a coin toss prediction. I'm going to go with Nebraska, and here's why. I have a hard time fathoming that Kurt Cignetti at Indiana in football, with all due respect, we're not talking about basketball, in football, would have already, in a matter of a few months, leapfrogged Nebraska and Matt Rhule, who are in the middle of year two. I have a hard time fathoming that they would have done it at Indiana in a much shorter time frame. So I'm going to go Nebraska 28, and I'm going to go Indiana 24. This segment was supposed to be shorter, but alas, it was not, as it tends to be, because this is the Loaded Show. Don't go anywhere, and I'm going to be joined by Garth Glissman right after these messages.
When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I work for you too.
Hey, Gecko, could you DJ my workout?
I got you, Derek. I know you like them sweet beats on leg day. Great home gym, by the way.
That's fire, Gecko.
I call this remix. Bundle your home and car insurance so you can save and get coverage that grows with you.
Oh, yeah, rolls right off the tongue. And you know what else I like?
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.